Now, I trust the Holy Spirit to lead the worship the same way that He leads in a service. I listen, I pay attention to what He chooses to have flow through every minister. And that song in particular, He says, do you hear it? I hear His voice, and He's calling my name. Well, in this season here at the prayer center, with these 9 prophecies that Tim again exhorted on the first 2 this morning, He is calling your name. And that song is what He's doing. He's calling your name, come up higher. And what He's given me to share this morning, you're going to see it also. And also, while she was singing, Jesus, we want to walk like You walked. Can I get a show of hands? How many of that is your prayer? Now remember that you raised your hand when I get into this. See, look at all the hands going down now. Too late. I saw you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. We got family reunion today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to start like Tim started. There's a prophecy, more than one, that's come through that says the day is quickly coming where you're going to have to scramble to find a seat in this house. And even they'll be standing around the walls waiting for their chance to get in the prayer line to be healed. And it won't be as long a wait as it was before, because all of you will be ministering the healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now today is, I can't believe we're halfway through March. Today's March 15th. And I want to mention that in case later somebody hears this message. If you're going to listen to this one, then you need to listen to the first one this morning, March 15th, 2020, by Tim Stemple. Because it's just irreplaceable. And the wisdom that came forward, and it ties so perfectly with what, even while I've been sitting there in the chair. See, I'm bringing my Bible up because He's got a few verses that I just don't want to misquote them, is the main thing. But it's not like it has been. I'm having to be on alert. He's putting stuff together while I'm sitting there. Come on. That's not a whole lot of preparation time. And even as I'm going through the service, I'm doing my best to follow. Of course, I've always done that, but here's the change that's coming. I already know it. I don't know how long it's going to be before the manifestation, because it's going, yes, sir. Say with me, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Without the anointing, the yoke is not destroyed. We are transitioning from brass to gold. We're transitioning from the ministry man can do to the ministry only God can do. Now that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And it's going to, even in that very prophecy, the one that he read this morning, in the last paragraph, the Lord says, it is my desire. This is that bring me gold. Most of you know of it. Or this morning we had copies handed out again. It is my desire that you all walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, hard to do that if you don't hear Him. Don't you wish there was a church where somebody could teach you how, on purpose, you could develop your ability how to hear God? Wait. This is that church. Dave has been laying it out for, 35 years or longer, preparing us for this time. But then you've also got to step out of false humility. Now, there is pride. We ought to always watch against real pride. But there is a false pride that is pride. There's a false humility. I'm just little old me. The Lord addresses that in these prophecies also. He says, you got to guard against that. If you walk in as a temple, see, none of this, we're already into it. If you walk in the room and you're the temple of God, who is that in you? Christ in you? Could I say God in you? God the Holy Ghost in you? And you're just little old you? Well, you're little old you with every answer that anybody ever needs. And I don't mean just the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I mean, if that's what they need that. Yes, sir. You're going to like today's message. I'm going to like it. I can't really wait to hear it myself. He's still putting it together. Some people are not here because of the fear of the coronavirus. And if they're afraid, they shouldn't be here. That's part of today's message, too. Okay. Some people are here because I made them mad last week. And I'm okay. The Lord told me ahead of time I was going to make them mad. See, I don't like stepping. I like a teacher. My office is really a teacher, not a pastor, because teachers don't really have to rebuke. Teachers just teach. See, I learned a great thing. I found a great difference once I went to university. You know, when you're in grade school and junior high and high school, the teachers just love you. And most of them, you know, they want to help you, and they're interested in helping you graduate. And they'll get, you know, it's just that atmosphere. You know that they're, you know, and they're going to, they're interested in you. They want to see you graduate. When you go to college, there's none of that. They don't care if you graduate or not. In fact, I still remember the first day, orientation class, engineering. Hadn't even gone to my first engineering class yet at Oklahoma State University. Gary, when did you graduate? 1969, when dinosaurs ruled the earth. Seriously, when I graduated, there was no such thing as even a handheld pocket calculator. I was an engineer 2 years before I ever even saw one of those, and it was about a foot long, 6 inches wide. This guy carried it in a holster on his hip, so proud of it. It cost, I forget now, over $1,000. No, $600. I remember $600, and all it did was add, subtract, multiply, divide, and do square roots. And we thought Jesus had come. Look at this thing, you know. When I graduated, we were using slide rules, actual slide rules, and logarithm books. Yes, sir. Orientation class, very first day. This is the difference. You know, in high school, you got to see. Let me help. You know, let me talk to you. You need a little help. They're interested in you graduating. Yeah. Orientation class. I forget now that it's been a long time ago. I think there was 3,000 to 4,000 of us in that orientation. Had us in a big auditorium, you know. And this is the first sentence that they said. Well, welcome to engineering, Oklahoma State University. We're glad you're here. The first sentence. Look to the person on your left. Hi, how you doing? Look to the person on your right. Hi, how you doing? He said, just know that by the time we graduate, two of you won't be here. And really, he was being too optimistic, because we lost more than two-thirds. Out of that whole thing, there was less than 1,000 of us that graduated. Okay. And the thing of it is, if you want to know the truth of it, they needed to not be there. They needed to not be there. You don't want those as being engineers to design your bridge. That's not the person you want designing the bridge you're going to drive on, or your kids are going to drive on. Boy, I'm going to run off some more today, aren't I, Lord? But I started to say I like the teaching gift better, because you can just teach, and whether you graduate or not, it's pretty much up to you. It's not my job. But see, a pastor, if you really look at, what did he tell Timothy? He didn't tell him just to exhort. He said reprove and rebuke. What? I don't like that, obviously. people don't. Me, if I'm on the wrong path and you don't rebuke me, what kind of friend are you? I need better friends than that. Okay? But it doesn't make it easy on my emotions. People that I really love and they get mad at me, I don't like that. Do you like that? But you got to, as long as he's not mad at me, that's what really matters. Now, this is, yes, okay, I heard that. As we're each of us going through the purging process, going through these 9, and now it's 10 prophecies. There's one that came before during conference that Tim mentioned this morning. And if you want to know about that, I told you, listen to that message when it's available. But as each of us are doing that, well, he's going to be dealing with each of us on various things. That's called purging. Isn't that right? I mean, it could be something we're believing that's wrong, you know, a doctrine that we don't believe right yet. Could be some sin issue that, or could be a weight issue. You're just wasting too much time on your knitting class. It keeps, you know, it's innocent. But then also, sometimes there's just correction and direction. That's good, correction and direction. And for me, I mentioned last week, there's even been a few financial things that he had show up that we had some, you know. To me, your finances are kind of like the boat you're in, you know. We found a couple of holes in our boat. Came to about $200 a month. Hey, I'm glad those are plugged. Get rid of that. And I think there might be more. But if he's going to start throwing a whole lot more money in your boat, I think he wants the holes plugged. Okay. But in this purging process, see, this is why he's calling your name. Because who knows? I don't know what he's going to deal with you about. Right now, he's yes, sir. I'll just tell you. I have done more fasting in the last 2-3 years than I've done my whole life, and that's a shame. I mean, that's not brag. That's telling on myself. Okay. But I also tell his part. If I had not done that, he could not have brought some material that he brought to me within this last week that I would never have received it. And I'm telling you, he is rocking my world with some understanding that I'm getting now on fasting that I never, ever, I don't think I ever would have been in a position to receive it had I not obeyed him, even the part that I have. See, the word of God will always be milk to you until you do it. And you'll have to suck at the pap again because it'll still be milk to you next time around. And then you'll forget it because you didn't do it. And then you'll, you know what, suck at the pap? That's a church word, pap. Not pappy, anyway. You'll have to come back around again because it'll never start becoming bone of your bone. It'll never start becoming meat until you do it. See? That's why the Corinthians, they kept disobeying what Paul was saying. I can't give you meat. I can only give you milk. Right? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But if you want to desire it so it's not forever milk to you, you got to start doing it. Well, he's bringing some things to me about fasting that's just blowing me away. I wrote some things to Bronk yesterday. Everyone knows how I've been about fasting my whole life, you know. I wrote some things to Bronk, and he went, "Who are you? And what did you do with Gary? I am calling the authorities right now. You cannot be him." Well, as Tim was going through this Bring Me Gold passage this morning, one of the things that stood out to me was this, where he says, "Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have I not cautioned you? that I have not selected you above others that you would go in the way of pride or arrogance. Now, here's the part. I have given you a calling that I'm just going to read it like I'm hearing it. I have given you a calling that no one can achieve. And I'm doing it that way for emphasis. What? You gave us a calling that no one can achieve. That's what it says. When I didn't finish the sentence. But I'm doing it that way so you get what he's saying. If you leave off the rest of this sentence, you're never going to achieve it. I've given you a calling that no one can achieve. See, this is why there's no room for pride. I don't care if you're president or dog catcher, anywhere in between or anything. I don't care what you are. No one can achieve it. What I've called you to do, am I making my point? No one can achieve. Let me finish the sentence now. That's right after a love offering. But anyway. Well, no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and fasting. And he continues, and from going into my word and the things of depth, not just skimming the word, not pulling a promise out of your scripture box in the morning. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've meditated the word today. That's not exactly depth. So Tim mentioned some depth things. Depth things would be the born again trail. Yeah, but that's 60 messages. Well, many of us have heard them many times. Doesn't matter that I taught it, it's his word. Tim mentioned the 1 John series. It'll change your life. If you heard it and it didn't, you need to hear it again. Sure changed mine and I taught it. He mentioned a Sermon on the Mount series. Okay. I would mention so many of them. But it's his word in depth. Now, I'm going to say it again. He says, I have given you a call. Yes, sir. Now, he's calling you by name. I'd like to, if I had this many fingers, I'd point to each one of you right now, all at once. Poof. Linda, I have given you a calling that you can't achieve, but I'm going to hold you responsible. But you need to understand, you can't achieve it. The calling I've given you, you cannot achieve. Oh, except with prayer, fasting, my word, and the depth of my word. Then you can. Now what if he's calling your name? So, my question is, because part of this, he's called us to corporate prayer this time around. Now you can pray at home. I pray at home. And many of you, I know you live out of town. Many of you have jobs. You can't come during the daytime prayer times. I understand that. But if you are a part of this vision, and if you feel like you're called to this, during the times that we have corporate prayer, are you there or are you not there? And it's your choice. He's never going to make you do anything. If he was ever going to make anybody do anything, like how Dave said it, he would have slapped Adam and Eve down on their way to the tree. He will not take away your free will. It'll always be your choice. But you can't achieve this. See, it's collective, but it's individual. I'm going to pick on Madeline back there. Madeline and I are, we, we're a little rough around the edges. We understand each other. See? Now, God's got a calling on Madeline's life. He's got a part for her in this that she can't achieve. Well, except if she chooses to yield to the prayer and chooses to, what is that word again? Oh, fasting, yeah. Because she can't achieve it without it. She said, no, I think I can. No, you're not. He says you can. He said, no one on earth can achieve it except through prayer and fasting. Yes, I cut the end. Like I said, you know what I just saw? See, I'm following him. I'm doing my best. You know what I just saw? I saw him walk up again. Actually, I didn't see it like that, but I saw that vision again at the day, how many years ago, he walked in between where those two speakers are, right through the wall, walked right over here, put his hand on this Bible and said, I want to be believed. See, and if somehow he walked in here and he walked up to you where you could touch him and he said, I need you to fast, I think it would change your decision. And that's where we are. He said, I need you to come when you can. I'm picking on them too because they love me too. And they live out of town. I mean, it's an hour and a half drive or thereabouts to where they live. I've been there. It's quite a drive, especially at night going back, you know. Said, I need you to be at corporate prayer. Yes. Wouldn't you be there? We're not playing. We're coming into the end times here, the end of the end. And there's a big harvest. A big harvest that's not going to be won without the gospel of power. This gospel. See, the reason I know he's not coming next week, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in every nation. Well, this gospel, the one he brought, is a gospel of power. He says, don't even leave town until you've been baptized and receive this power, baptized in the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was like, don't even think about it. Don't even think about preaching my gospel without the power. That gospel, this gospel of power, has not been preached throughout all the world. But it's going to be. Because he said it would be. So, one of my instructions. Yes, sir. I want to be believed. Now or later. I don't mean about believing. He wants you to always believe now. There's something he wants me to read. And I don't know if it's now or later. I'm fine. No? Okay. All right. So I was saying, part of the purging process, he's going to be dealing with each of us individually. With some people, it's going to be doctrine. With some things, it's going to be finances. With some things, it's going to be sin. With some things, it's going to be weights. But there's going to be instruction that comes for you personally that you're going to get from the Holy Ghost. One of mine that I got this week, which kind of surprised me, was he wanted me to start reading the book of Mark over and over again. Well, I've read the book of Mark. When you've been at it as long as I have, you think, oh, I got it. I got the book of Mark. Brother, read the book of Mark. So I hear as much as I can. Sue knows. I don't sit at home when it's, unless I'm gone to get Lily or something, I don't sit at home during the prayer times, the corporate prayer times. I'm here. Okay. But one of the instructions I got was read the book of Mark. So I read the book of Mark. And when I got through reading the book of Mark, I heard, read the book of Mark. Read the book of Mark. Read the book of Mark. Okay, I'm reading the book of Mark. And I found something that validates a truth that I've been preaching for many years, but I've just never saw it so explicitly in the Word. And this is one of the reasons I brought my Bible. Now, open up to Mark chapter 1. And you can put a marker over in chapter 14. See, and this is what we're talking about. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. See, and who is our pattern in all things? Looking unto who? So I want to walk like you walked. Remember, you raised your hand. Remember, I want to walk like you walked. All right, well, I haven't forgot that. So I've preached this for years, this truth, starting in verse 14 of chapter 1. Now after that John, that's John the Baptist, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, now preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Is that not what we're supposed to do? All right. Well, what did he say? When he preached it, how did he say it? And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God, now, if you underline, is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Isn't that what he's telling us? I want to be believed. Okay. But I want you is at hand. What does it mean when you say the kingdom of God is at hand? When Jesus would come into all of these villages where he would go and he's preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, I looked it up in the Greek and I knew that in the Greek, what it means is it's available to you. If something is at hand, then I have it. I mean, it's mine. I don't have to wait. It's at hand. See, you know, there's a time when the steak is at Reese's. Reese's is a local grocery store chain. Well, I don't have it at home, but I want a steak. Trouble is, my steak is not at hand. My steak is at Reese's. See, and that's the way most people are. Their blessing is still in heavens, they think. But that's what Jesus is going, no. Your blessing is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. So I had it that way. I don't want my steak to be at Reese's. I need to go get it, bring it to my house. Cook that rascal. Get it on the plate. Ah, my steak is at hand. Om nom. Okay. Well, hallelujah. See, so I knew it from the Greek, and I knew. Watch this. Read the book of Mark. He says, "Yes, sir." Pray. Yes, sir. Read the book of Mark. Yes, sir. Go. Oh, yeah. We ought to pass the offering. Now they already took the offering buckets up. Huh? I mean, this is just too good. There ought to be a charge. But he gave it to me free, so okay. Go to Mark 14. Now, it's in a most unusual place. This is when Jesus is about to be arrested. Judas is coming to betray him. But he uses the exact same phrase and gives... I've never seen the definition of is at hand like this. Mark 14, look at verses 42. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me, what's those next three words? Is at hand, continue, and immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, that means immediately, while you yet speak. You put the word of God in your mouth. This is the way it's supposed to be. When you speak God's word and the kingdom is at hand, immediately, while you speak, There it is. That's where we're going. That's what it means. Have you ever seen that definition? Immediately, while he yet spake. That has, I'm telling you, I'm going to practice walking the floor. I'm going to get that in me, that when I speak. See, right now we should go to Mark 11, 22, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. My question is, when shall it come to pass? Immediately, while I yet speak. That's where he's taking us, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. All right, now let's, you're in, go back to Mark chapter 1 again. And don't start reading ahead now, like you did on Tim this morning. He forgave us. We're going to look at the leper here in a little bit. Now don't be reading ahead, please. Look up here at me. Now this is important. This is what I got sitting in the chair. I knew I was going to talk about the leper. But this is the part, just sitting on the chair. Because we're about to see Jesus minister to the leper, and probably you all already know the story. But see, there's a big transition here, because if you go back to the Old Testament, before people were born again, before they were children of, literally born of God's Spirit, boy, God gave them great precautions when it comes to leprosy. I heard Jim Martin recently teach again on leprosy, and I don't have his everything that he had on it, but leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. It hardly even exists today. Today they call it Hansen's disease, and it's similar, but it's really not exactly the pure leprosy that they dealt with back then. It was terribly contagious. It was horrible beyond words. Literally, body parts would fall off from it. The pain, the stench, they would isolate them. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, God gave them very explicit instructions. See, and I'm thinking in, keep in mind the coronavirus type thing, because I've got to tell you, the coronavirus is a wimp compared to what's coming. Thank God it's not Ebola. But my question to you is, what if it was? Because worse stuff's coming. Because how do you know it's coming? Pestilence, Jesus said in these last days. Pestilence. Well, this is like baby Susie pestilence coming through compared to what's coming. Should I be in fear? Absolutely not. You're going to see why here in a minute. But we got to operate in the real and not in presumption. It's transformation, not wanting to be transformed. A caterpillar can admire butterflies all that it wants, but that doesn't change it into a butterfly. Caterpillar has to go through the transformation process, which is exactly what he's doing with us right now. In your spirit, it's already done, but getting that manifested to the outside might take a little persistence. In the Old Testament, there were strict guidelines how you deal with the leper. They had to be isolated from the camp. And it was possible to be healed, and I'm not really teaching on that. You know, remember Naaman, the Syrian, who was a leper, came to the prophet. He thought the prophet would give him a great big, some lofty thing, because Naaman was powerful, you know. He says, I'll just go dip in the river seven times. What? We got cleaner rivers than that back in Syria. He started to just ignore it, but somebody counseled him. Can you just obey the word? Obey the prophet? So he did, and he got healed. And Jesus even mentioned that himself. He said, there were many lepers in Israel. Not one. Isn't this amazing? Not one leper who had a covenant of healing got healed. It made them mad when he told them this. None of them came to the prophet. Why? They didn't believe. Anyway, That's not today's lesson. The point, though, the point, when they were spiritually dead people, now, except for a few, I don't think Elijah, whichever one it was, he wasn't afraid. Elijah, I think. He wasn't afraid. But most people needed to be afraid. And God gave them good counsel. To wash your hands every 10 minutes. Cough into your elbow. I'm talking about corona thing, you know. For God's sake, go to Sam's and get your toilet paper quick, you know. Oh, sorry, it's too late. They're already out. Okay. How many stores? Angie went to Walmart, Target, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Warehouse Market, just trying to find some spray Lysol. None of them had any. Okay. Amazon, she told me that too. Yeah, she tried to get it. Okay. Well, see, and that's, if that's where you are, that's where you are. And God knew that's where they were under the old covenant. So he gave them strict instructions. I mean, that leper couldn't even come into public. And if they did for some reason, they had to start shouting from a ways off, telling who they were so people could get out of the way. Okay. Now let's contrast all of that. Say, I would say it again. I want to walk like Jesus walked. Boy, that's weak. I want to walk like Jesus walked. Okay. All right. Mark chapter 1. We'll pick it up here. Verse 40. Now, it's illegal even what the leper did. There came a leper to him. First off, that's illegal. Under the old covenant, they're not supposed to do that. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, that's begging him, and kneeling down to him. That's a good way to approach. It's okay. And saying unto him, if thou wilt, if you want to, I like planning, if you want to, you can make me clean. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I try and always be honest with you. I don't really plan on ever getting up here and lying, just so you know. See, right there is pretty much how I grew up in the denominational church. They didn't deny that God could. We know God can do anything. I heard that many times growing up. God, how many you believe God can do anything? We all believe that. They had the same issue this guy had. We know God can. We just don't know what his will is. And that's why they would end every prayer with that faith-destroying part, if it be thy will. Well, there's no faith in that. And this passage, I am sure, is in here so that we don't ever have to ask that question again. He asked it for all of us. So he says, if you will, if you want to, I know, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion. I want you to know what he does next violates everything under the law of Moses. It does. It violates. This goes against, what I mean by that is every instruction that God gave them about how you're supposed to isolate yourself from lepers, all of the health things, all of the precautions went out the window immediately. Because Jesus, Jesus is not a normal human. Jesus is not a spiritually dead person. Jesus knows who he is. And he knows who's with him and in him. Jesus, moved with compassion, oh my God, put forth his hand. Now think, the disciples are watching this. You're raised a Jew. You're raised under the law. You know what all the stipulations are about lepers. And they're watching. I bet you they're watching from a distance. We're with you way over there, Jesus. But you and the leper.
And they're watching. And here comes this leper and he bows down. And he's got to be within close. And they're watching this. Aghast, I would think. He says, and they hear what the leper says. I know you can. I just don't know if you want to. I think their eyes, how Dave say it, had to be big as saucer lids. When they saw Jesus' hand come up, they said, he's not going to. He's not going to. He's not going to do that. Moses said, don't do that. And he touched him. Oh, you ought to hear Jim Martin teach on this. Depends on what stage that leper was at, but I mean it. If he touched him, it could have been putting your hand in the goo. Just depends on where. Did the guy have ears? Don't know. Did he have a nose? How ghastly was it? Didn't matter to Jesus. He touched him. And said unto him, I will. Boy, when we get that straight, when it comes to cancer, tuberculosis, any disease, coronavirus. If y'all haven't seen that hillbilly thing, it's good. That there coronavirus, I'm telling you. It's funny. It's a YouTube thing. I will get it straight. Not only will he not only does he have the power, he wants to. Get her done. I like it. I will be thou clean. And notice. And as soon as he had spoken, what's that next word? Immediately. When is the kingdom of God at hand? Immediately. While he yet spake. And that's the way we're going to function. And he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him forthwith and sent him away and said unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man. Mm-hmm. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Now that's what the law required. Offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So he says, don't tell anybody nothing about this. But he went out and began to publish it much. How can you hold back? I agree. You know, go and tell what great things the Lord has done. Now see, isn't that a story? Now, there's the 12. Don't you agree with me? Don't you think they stood afar off and watched? Aghast? You think they were aghast at that? Go back to Matthew 10. It's not in Mark's account, but it is in Matthew. I bet they talked. You reckon there was discussion among the 12? Dear God, I bet they talked about that. Boy, isn't that something? Jesus, did you see what he did? Did you see what happened that the leper got cleansed? Did you see that? I bet they talked about it. Whew, boy, that's Jesus. I bet they talk like we do. Oh, that's Jesus. Man, it is too. Mm-hmm. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12, same 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go, and now in this case, this is before the resurrection. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So far, so good. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. We understand that better now, don't we? And they had been watching him and learning from him. They knew what it meant. That when you speak, it happens immediately. While you yet speak. Okay, so far so good. Okay. Verse 8. Heal the sick. Okay. Okay. Next phrase. To the 12. What? Cleanse the leper?
let's talk a minute, Jesus. We saw you do that. We know you can do it. You put your hand in the goo. And while you yet spake, he was cleansed. But we're just little old us. You want me? Little old me? You want me to touch a leper the way you touched the leper? Yep. And they weren't born again yet. But they were operating under his mantle. As if they already were. Now see, we're already born again. We're on this side of the resurrection. We are of the same. Now you're not going to. Religion will throw stones right here. But you are of the same species as Jesus. He is the firstborn from the dead. And it's worded that way because if there is a firstborn, there is a secondborn and a thirdborn, and your number is in there somewhere. You are of the God species. You're not a normal, quote, human. This is where he's taking us. John G. Lake had this over about 100 years ago. When the bubonic plague, I believe it was ravaging South Africa. And anybody that would try and help, they would get it and die also. But not John G. Lake and his helpers. And they'd die. And John G. Lake's, they would minister to them while they were sick. And then they'd bury the bodies and none of them would ever get it. And the medical community wanted to know why. Have you found a cure? Well, in a way. Romans 8 verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, sir, there is a life in me that conquers all disease. If you'll take some of that germs, that bubonic plague, and put it on my skin and look at it under a microscope, you'll find out. You'll find out who has power. So they did that. They took some of the froth from one of those people that had died of the bubonic plague. On a microscope, they put it on the skin, looked at it under a microscope, and instantly, all those teeming germs died. Say it with me. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we come up higher. Where's Stacy? Come up higher was one of those songs. Come up higher. See, we're in this season of prayer. He has things to teach us concerning who we really are. We should not be running from the coronavirus. The coronavirus should be running from us. Amen. Gary, are you walking there? Better than I was. I'm going to. Because I'm going to walk like he walked. That's why I had you raise your hand earlier. I'm not telling you to do this. Yes, I can. Yes, sir. Okay, I hear it. Yes, sir. I have a standard answer for anybody that ever asks us, whether it's in a prayer line or they write to us or telephone or email. Brother Gary, Sister Sue, do you think I should continue taking my medicine? The answer is always 100% without, I don't have to go pray about it. Yes. Because if you have to ask me, you need it. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and okay. Now, what I'm saying is, medical science would say about Gary Carpenter today in the year 2020 that I still have an incurable heart disease. Because they say it's incurable. Okay. Well, I don't either. I don't believe it. Okay. But see, I don't believe in uncurable anything. I don't. But they would say, well, what? You've been diagnosed with Zama-Zama? Well, you still have it. I said, well, no, I've been healed. By his stripes, I was healed. And they're going, another religious kook. Well, I'm the one that hadn't had any medicine for it since May of 1998, and I'm still here. And I don't go through those symptoms either, do I? I'm not afraid of that disease. You see what I'm saying? I'm not afraid of that. I was. Now, the point is this. It took 2 years for him to transform my thinking, speaking his word several times a day. And I'm embarrassed. I didn't know as much then about godly hope as I do now. Had I learned how to incorporate hope with the speaking, it would have happened a lot faster. But it took him 2 years, even with what little I knew, to transform my mind where I could believe it without taking the medicine. Because I did get tried again a couple of times after that. But this time I knew what to do. And it wasn't just knowing what to do. My mind had been trained to it. I had become it. See, there is something about the Word becoming flesh. You literally become one with the Word. So I'm not at all saying you should start going around laying your hands on coronavirus people. I have no idea where you are. Yeah, I know exactly where we all are. This is where he thinks we are. Come to prayer. Do fasting. Get in my word. And get in the depth of my word. And you can do that. You can pray. Do you know the wonderful thing about praying in tongues? You can sit there and be listening to the Born Again Trail while you're praying. Because when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. At that moment, it'd be wonderful to listen to the Born Again Trail. Or if you haven't heard 1 John, listen to the 1 John series. Or if you haven't heard Sermon on the Mount, listen to that series. You can do that while you pray. You see people in here all the time during prayer with earbuds. They're not listening to rock and roll. Or if they are, they won't for long because the Lord will deal with that one. Okay. So I'm not saying at all that you should not take precaution. I'm not saying at all you should go out and start laying your hands on coronavirus people. I'm not saying that at all. He's not saying that. What he's saying is come in here and yield to me so that you can. That is the transformation process, and that's what he's telling us to do. I don't read in those exhortations, run out and pray for the sick right now. What he's saying is pray, fast, get in the word, get in the depth of the word. That's what he's saying. Come away with me, my beloved, over and over in so many different ways. Then when he's ready, then we're going to go in power. Amen? Now, why is prayer, and I'm talking corporate prayer, he gave me this. Go to Acts 12. This is almost funny, this story, in a way. It wasn't funny if you're Peter. We'll just start in verse 1 of Acts 12. Yes, sir. All right. So, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John. First, second, third John. John. I mean, that John that we're all so familiar with, they killed his brother. Isn't that right? With the sword, I think history says they beheaded him. Okay, chopping block. And because he, Herod, saw that it pleased the Jews, why, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to four of those kind of soldiers, quaternions, I don't know, bunch of soldiers, four of them, I think, to keep him.
intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of one single individual. Is that what it says? Of the church. This is corporate prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story because we're going to run out of time. But let's look at the end of this. I love that. I love that story. It makes a great lesson in itself. Come on down to verse verse 12. This is after Peter is out. The angel came, thumped him on the side, woke him up. They leave the prison. The gate opened of its own accord. They're outside, and Peter's almost like been in a trance or a dream, and all of a sudden he kind of comes to himself, and he goes, I'm out. I'm on the street. I'm outside the prison. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. How many? It doesn't say how many, but there was many. Many were gathered together praying. Corporate prayer. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Plain English, you be crazy. You done lost your ever-loving mind. What do you mean Peter's at the gate? But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they still didn't believe her. They said, it's his angel. Whatever that means. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, this is funny, and saw him, they were astonished. I'll just tell you plain, this is not exactly the prayer group I want praying for me. Can you tell they did not expect the prayer to be answered? Now there's a real secret here. They were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, you know, you're going to get the cops here. You're going to get the Romans coming down here. Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, so forth and so on. Now, I have meditated this till my meditator rolled out on the floor. I said, how did this even work? Obviously, they're not praying in faith. They don't expect Peter to come out and stand. I don't even know what they're praying. And he said, neither did they. That one time I heard him say, and neither did they. Do you know why it worked? They were praying in the Spirit. This is after the day of Pentecost. I'm sure they prayed in English, what they knew. But they knew, you run out of that in 5 minutes. They were praying in the Spirit. They did not know what they were praying. They knew they were praying for Peter. Prayer for him was being made without ceasing. I'm convinced they did not expect, they weren't praying the prayer of faith from their known language. It's obvious they didn't expect him to come out and knock at the door. You must be crazy, girl. Now, Tim brought forth a word that came several years ago that I don't have a copy of. But it said this. There is no less authority when you pray in your known tongue than when you pray in the unknown tongue. I'm going to say it again. See, we tend to think we pray in tongues until we understand it, and then we speak it, and then there's authority. There was authority when it first escaped your lips. That's why he has us do it. And This is what Dave taught us for years. If we'll get this, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we know not what to pray as we ought, and He does it according to the perfect will of God. Why did that angel show up? They were praying it and didn't even know they were praying it. Somewhere in that prayer, Holy Spirit, through them, said somehow, in a language they didn't understand, send an angel to get Peter out. Or something like that. End result was that. There is no less authority. So when we all get our little heinies down here, my heinie, your heinie, we all get down here and we're just sitting here, we're kind of looking at each, and think, I've got to commend the ones that are coming. They're not gab fests like they used to be. Poor Dave, bless his darling heart, daughter knows, 20 years, 25 years ago, he'd gather us up for prayer and he would do his best. I mean, bless his darling heart. And trying to get us all to pray. And it was talk, talk, talk. Little groups talking, talking, talking. Maybe pray a little bit. And then talking, talking, talking. Way more talking than there was praying. I think Dave would be so proud. And I know the Father is proud. This bunch coming now. Bless God, for the most part, they pray. Hour after hour after hour. And you say, well, I prayed 4 hours and nothing happened. Oh, you don't even know what all happened. You don't know how many angels were sent out. You don't know how many miraculous things were done. You don't know how many lives were saved around this planet. You don't have any idea the wonderful authority you released by allowing the Holy Ghost to use your lips. I'm about to go pray right now. I done talked myself back into it. I'm about to go pray right now. Think of it. The honor that God, the Holy Spirit, He would use your lips. I mean, Linda Klein. We love Linda. Dave says, you know you're loved if you get picked on, you know. Linda Klein. God would use her lips to stop somebody from dying halfway around the world, to open a prison door somewhere, get a Christian out. How about stop a plague? Golly, we need to understand the power when we gather together to pray. Not only is He purging us, that's the amazing, He's revealing whatever in us is not right. He's working on that. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? But also, while we give Him that extended time of prayer, we are allowing our lips of authority. Remember, always remember, Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. They've got to be together. Jesus has no lips on planet Earth but ours. And when we, in His name, that means we are the agent of authority. Holy Spirit says, I don't have any lips. I'm a spirit. He has spiritual lips, but He doesn't have any earthly lips. Lips of clay, if you'll allow me. He says, you know, if you and I got together, I had the mind and you got the lips. I got the mind, you got the authority. You know, if you and I got together and you let me pray with my mind through your mouth, kingdom business could get done. I don't know about you, I'm encouraged to pray even more now. And I'm going to encourage you to fast. I'm going to be teaching more on it. That's not a threat, it's a promise. But he's showing me some things. I'm going, where was this information 30 years ago? And he's going, you couldn't have received it anyway. You weren't dead enough to hear it. You know? So anyway, praise God. Last thing. A word came through at Calling in the Lost on March the 8th. This time he happened to use Gary's lips. If he can use Linda. It's very short. He says, you are on the cusp CUSP, you are on the cusp of believing me, says the Lord. You are on the cusp of believing me. I have nurtured for many years. I have taught and I have encouraged and I have exhorted. And I have almost on my knees begged that a group would come and sit at the feet of the teacher, the Holy Spirit whom I have sent. Know this. Know this. It is not a far off thing. You are on the cusp of believing me, says the Lord. Press in, press in, press in, says the Lord. You are closer than you think. A friend looked up the word cusp and sent it to Joan Lance, who sent it to me. And it was so good, I didn't believe it. So I looked it up myself. And just get on the internet, look up cusp definition. You'll find it. We need to take a love offering again right here. This is just, it's too good. The word cusp. Now, before I even read it to you, how many teachings have we had? The caterpillar to the butterfly. Right? Old covenant to new covenant. Flesh creature, spirit creature. Okay. Cusp. It's a noun and it means a point of transition between two different states. We are right at the point of transition. Right at the cusp. Oh. The example they give is like, oh, that person is on the cusp of adulthood. They're just right there. Well, we are right there, people. This is not a far off thing. So I'm going to close again with this. Now, those of you around the world, I know time zones are different, but here in Tulsa, all I can do is give you our corporate prayer schedule here. And you are allowed to pray more than this. Did you know that? Dave would probably, if he heard this, he'd say, you're going to cut me back to that? Wednesday, the church is open for prayer, corporate prayer, 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night. Friday, it's open from noon until 10 o'clock at night. And then Saturday morning, it's open at 7 until noon. Now, not everybody can come to all of those. I mean, people that have regular day jobs obviously can't be here at, you know, noon on Friday. I understand that. I can't be there the whole time. I can this next week because it's spring break. I don't have to go pick up Lily, but normally I do. But the goal is get in all you can. And then get in more. You know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, you're allowed to pray also. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the church might not be open. Pray at home. Pray in the parking lot. But we're talking about corporate times of prayer. And I hope you don't forget that group that was praying for Peter. They obviously weren't praying in faith. They didn't believe it. But the Holy Ghost believed it. And they allowed the Holy Spirit to pray the mind of Christ, and it still worked. Amen. Even though they themselves didn't even know what, I don't think they knew what they were doing. But the Holy Ghost did. Amen. I like to say it this way. He is smarter than we are dumb. If we'll just let him pray, oh my goodness, what'll happen? All right, I think I feel that release now. Did you enjoy that? I've done talked myself back into prayer, and I'm telling you now. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I'm going to finish with this. Here's a preview of coming attractions on fasting. But this has to do with sin. And he's preaching to somebody. You may be in the room. You may be listening. You're still struggling with some pretty major sin. You're going to learn that that hunger pain comes in waves. Americans tend to think, and I'm not prophesying, I'm just talking. Americans tend to think that if I fast, the hunger that I feel right at the beginning will just build and build and build and it'll become intolerable. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. hunger comes in waves. And if you endure that wave, it'll subside for a while and it may come back again. Now, people that fast a lot will tell you after the third or fourth day, the hunger goes away. Now I know why. I know physically why now. You need to understand who's he talking to. Sin. The reason fasting helps with that is sin is the same way. That temptation comes in waves. It wants you to think that it's just going to get worse and worse and it's uncontrollable and it's unbearable and it's going to get... No. It comes in waves just like hunger. And if you'll say no, see, the grace of God teaches us to deny. That means say no. You say no to that wave, it will subside. It may come again? No. It may come again? No. But eventually you can train your body. Hey, my body, I used to think I could not live an hour without alcohol. This was many, many years ago. My body was convinced, and I was convinced I'd die if I didn't have it. Well, that just was a lie. And I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 40 years now, since 1980. But your body can be trained, is what I'm saying. Same with nicotine. I used to think I couldn't live without the nicotine. Dear Lord, can't believe I ever did it now. So here's his encouragement to you. He knows you're struggling. He knows you're struggling with sin. He loves you anyway. Don't quit the struggle. Get into more prayer. Get into more fasting. Those temptations come in waves. Resist them. Resist them. It will subside. And then you keep doing that, and you're going to retrain yourself. You'll retrain your body. You'll retrain yourself. Be encouraged. All right. Father, I believe I've obeyed you now. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. I thank you for the truth of your Holy Spirit. There's several hearing this that you have asked the Father to be filled with the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues. And know this, he has heard and answered your prayer. Please step out in faith and begin to speak. Step out. When you speak in an unknown tongue, it comes from a different place than when you speak in your normal language. He is answering that prayer. The Holy Ghost, he never says no if you ask him for the Holy Spirit. So if you've asked, you have received. Now, allow him to speak through you. Let those syllables come out of your mouth. And you watch what happens. It may start with a trickle. But he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Trust him. He's not upset with you. Trust him. You asked. He heard you. You have received. Now begin to speak. And watch what happens. All right. I'm trying to close, Father. Okay. I got to read the last sentence. I don't know. This is also... in the last sentence of the last paragraph of Bring Me Gold. Now, while this corona thing is going on, this is God's will for each and every one of you. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. Now get that. Did you get that? No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I have chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me. So say it with me. No weakness for me, and no sickly among me. I am strong, I am healthy, and that's the will of the Lord. That's who I am. In Jesus' name. Amen.